Always Worth Saying's Question Time Review. Question Time, the 16th of January, 2020. The panel, Baroness Chakrabarty of Kennington, Labour, Helen Whatley, Conservative, Alan Smith, SNP, Madeline Grant, the Daily Telegraph comment editor, and Lawrence Fox, actor. Venue, Liverpool. To this reviewer's recollection, Brexit was only mentioned once during last week's Question Time from Oxford, and then not even by the BBC, rather by an audience member in the context of British foreign policy towards Iran being closer to that of Germany and France than to the United States of America. Has the BBC finally lost interest in Remain? Perhaps as a tractor factory owner in Adenauer's post-war West German Freiburg might stop sending international money orders to his relatives still setting up their new ranches in Paraguay or Argentina. For the time being, we shall keep our vigilance. As part of our de-Remainification effort, the Cynthias slaving away over the card index in the registry would like to point out that this week's Question Time host city, Liverpool, voted 40... No, it didn't. It voted 58... to 42 Remain in the 2016 referendum. In the recent general election, the five Liverpool seats returned five Labour MPs, an Eagle brother and four non-entities that even a political obsessive such as your reviewer had never heard of. Gone are notables such as Luciana Berger and Louise Ellman. Perhaps the chirpy, humorous, warm and inclusive left-wing Scouse welcome was too much for them. The intel, therefore, suggests that the BBC is still behind its own little red wall. That being the case, the Ministry of Information has instructed all public buildings to continue to show the This Week's Question Time host city in no way reflects modern Britain poster, which includes a very clever line drawing by Abram Games showing an EU flag-clad Rebecca Long Bailey in her new contact lenses winding up a clockwork BBC Director General. Yes, your humble reviewer has a connection with the city. In his footballing days, so far down the league pyramid his boots were on the sand and he had to call the camels sir. His duties when away at Liverpool included helping to remove the burnt-out cars from the pitch before kick-off. Many decades later, he received his one and only speeding ticket on his way to watch the youth team at Tranmere, flying past Silla's house on Scotty Road on a deserted Sunday morning dual carriageway at 32.5 miles per hour. Hold my beer, Puffins. Will the BBC give your hard-tackling reviewer a half-chance at revenge? All will be revealed. The first question was, will reducing passenger duty lead to more domestic flights and make the climate crisis worse? Helen Whateley, Conservative, focused upon keeping Flybe flying, but claimed that passenger duty might not be lowered. It was going to be reviewed. Places could be difficult to get to, and Flybe was a help. A laid-back Lawrence Fox wasn't against flying, and in a deep voice told us that as an actor he had to fly, but as a profession, actors made up for this by preaching about climate change. Did I really hear that? Yes, I did. And Lawrence got even better as the night went on. Baroness Chakrabarty of Kennington, Labour, said that it was too cheap to fly and too expensive on the train. Suspiciously, Fiona Bruce was able to end the Baroness's sentences throughout the evening and on this occasion had the numbers available to back her up. Going to Exeter by train was twice the cost of flying. The Baroness didn't want to cut flying duty and wanted to create jobs in a green revolution. We're running out of time, she stated. Helen Whateley interrupted to say, Northern powerhouse. Madeline Grant, Daily Telegraph, pointed out that it wasn't really Flybe that was being bailed out, rather the consortium that owns it, such as Delta and Richard Branson. Why can't they pay for it and not the taxpayer? This got a round of applause. Alan Smith answered the question on behalf of the SNP. Speaking of which, given that it has its own parliament, and England doesn't, given that they no longer hold the balance of power in Westminster, and given that the SNP vote share was exactly the same in the general election as the independence referendum, 45%, then SNP representatives, especially when speaking in England, maybe they should be ignored. He was reminded that previously the SNP wanted to cut airline tax, as it is a wash with remote places connected by air. He said there was a detailed plan. The Scottish Government were the first to declare a climate emergency and to declare that they'd be carbon neutral by 2040. There is cherry blossom hay fever in Stockholm now this minute, he claimed. A gentleman in the audience said that hundreds of millions of people would be displaced by climate. This claim and many others remained unchallenged as a narrative was being chanted. It should be said that, even if every single point of the climate emergency is true, what happens here in Britain will make no difference at all to anything. One wonders what the SNP's detailed plan is for China and India. Fiona Bruce preferred to quote a higher authority, David Attenborough, take steps that need to be taken. Those steps have already been taken, according to Helen Whately. Carbon dioxide emissions in this country have been reduced by 25% in recent years. Has it made any difference to the climate, Helen? Oh. The second question asked, should the Sussexes profit from their royal status? Lawrence Fox felt sorry for them, mentioned the new baby, and then felt sorry for them a bit more, before touching upon the naivete of Meghan in not realising the difficulties of joining the royal family. A little bit of having your cake and eating it, according to Lawrence. A tinged lady audience member had a better word for it, racism. Panellist Fox contradicted the audience member very strongly, which isn't really allowed. He told her the race card was boring. She called him a white privileged male, which got the rest of the audience groaning and got Lawrence calling her a racist, whilst becoming very animated indeed. He had a look in the eye which suggested he might find her car, push it to a football pitch, and set it on fire. All hail Lawrence Fox. Baroness Chakrabarty was itching to play the race card, walk around in someone else's shoes, but Fox had shot her fox. In this city, you know all about abuses, she said. Was she about to mention the bullying that Elman and Burgee received, despite Baroness Chakrabarty of Kennington curing anti-Semitism in the Labour Party with her 2016 whitewash for a peerage report? No, she was going to play the Hillsborough card. She went on to quote a BuzzFeed report, which, suspiciously, Fiona Bruce had to hand. There was forensic proof of the Duchess being abused. Fox had been shot for shooting Chakrabarty's fox, but not fatally so. He had to go back and mention the Manchester grooming, Muslim paedophile rape scandal, as an indication of how unhelpful use of the race card could be. Don't call people racist just because they don't agree with you, he concluded. Fiona Bruce mentioned the libel case and passed the baton to Alan Smith, who we shall ignore, except when he suggests that being a private citizen is incompatible with taking public money. Madeline Grant focused on the hypocrisy of keeping the perks but having none of the duties. We will see them cash in on the brand and we will hear a lot of woke-like nonsense. Bit like a Question Time panel on climate emergency, eh, Madeline? A lady in the audience pointed out that Fergie got it 10 times worse and that Meghan's too busy with the racism card. Question number 3 pointed out Boris Johnson's previous comment about Liverpool and asked what can Liverpool expect from a Boris Johnson government. Bruce was kind enough to point everybody in the right direction by quoting from a 16-year-old Spectator editorial where the writer, possibly Johnson, as he was the editor at the time, had complained about Liverpool people's victim status. At least we now know that, if your humble reviewer is ever invited onto a Question Time panel and Bruce takes a dislike to him, then he will be battered to death with that speeding ticket. While reaching for the race and bingo cards, Baroness Chakrabarty claimed that a long line of people had been insulted by Johnson. Letterboxes, pickaninnies. Did she mention bum boys in tank tops? She should have. Yawn. Madeline Grant had something interesting to say and thought that the expectation could be of a greater economic intervention, e.g. in infrastructure and the NHS, because of the new Red Wall Conservative constituencies. She noted that Brexit would give Johnson the freedom to intervene and saw him, in Liverpool terms, as being more like a Heseltine than a Thatcher. A chap in the audience called Baroness Chakrabarty of Kennington entitled and said that Liverpool people needed a hand up, not a handout. Don't support individuals. Help them to get on in life. Speaking of handouts, the next audience member wanted London and the Tories to hand over the money to the great northern cities to spend on themselves. People of Liverpool, why don't you want a tax cut? Please. Having been reminded by Fiona Bruce that the Tories had cut Liverpool's funding by several hundred million pounds, Helen Whateley replied that she'd been to Liverpool twice in a week. She said that the place was wonderful and that there was fantastic things happening down at the docks. Gracious me, I may go there myself, and at more than 32.5 miles per hour. Prompted by the laughter in the audience, Fiona Bruce asked Helen for one Tory policy to be excited about. £10 an hour, Helen replied proudly. It's a deal, love. Hop in. A young lady in the audience mentioned wonderful things on the docks. Competition for Helen. Thank God for the minimum wage. Lawrence Fox was applauded for saying that Liverpool people aren't victims at all. And that, not just Liverpool, but across the north, people are a lot nicer than they are in London. Alan Smith, next question. Which Labour candidate can connect with the lost voters of the north? Madeline Grant replied, none of them. Lise and Andy had said that the bus route should be improved instead of HS2, but had spoiled the effect by then supporting continued freedom of movement. Beckong Bailey had given Corbyn 10 out of 10 for the Labour election campaign. Madeline wondered what he would have had to have done to get 8. Might I suggest attacking someone with an axe? Boris Chakrabarty, I've given up trying to spell it, it's nearly 2 a.m, lied about what an audience member had said previously. She's an unelected baroness, she said, which he didn't. Because of this, audience described unelected privilege, she wouldn't declare for any of the candidates to lead her own party. One might say that she was remaining neutral. 10 out of 10 for leadership, m'lady. Of course, she has to keep in with all of them because she wants a job out of it. Oh, she would renationalise the railways. She was then nicely secured by an audience member who called her arrogant and condescending, reminded her that Labour had had the worst election results since 1935, and she was displaying a lack of a shift in policies that would lead Labour unelected for decades to come. The electorate did not get it wrong. The Baroness ignored him and dragged out the race card for another round of letterbox and Piccaninny bingo, and then she blamed it all on Brexit. Alan Smith sprang to the defence of Chakrabarty. Don't forget that the SNP need the help of the Labour Party if there's ever going to be another independence referendum. Lawrence Fox, now godlike, called Corbyn the magic grandpa and wanted him replaced by Sir Keir Starmer, as it was Starmer who would take Boris on. Challenged by Chakrabarty with none of the women, Fox changed his position and said he would vote for all of the women as gender was more important than politics. Madeline Grant recalled that Jo Swinson's obsession with being a woman didn't do her any good electorally. It's about competence, Madeline claimed. You need a competent leader, not identity labels. Helen Whateley sat on the fence somewhat, but suggested listening to people. E.g. Brexit, lower taxes and opportunities. The Labour Party should stop talking Britain down and talk Britain up. The last question referred to A&E waiting time targets. Helen Whateley thanked the NHS staff. She had worked in hospitals before becoming an MP, but she admitted to mention that it was as a management consultant for Price Waterhouse. Baroness Chakrabarty wanted to keep the A&E targets and said that she would talk Britain up by saying how marvellous the NHS was. Which begs the question, why do we have to wait for 4 hours plus in A&E? Lawrence Fox was grateful to the NHS, keep the targets, why not? In his experience, the NHS is very good at the emergency end of things, but he wasn't so sure about the accidents. On being returned to the audience, the questioner mentioned the lack of a big plan for social care, which therefore backs an awful lot of demand into A&E. And that was it. And we have a winner, being crossed off the guest lists as we speak, Mr. Lawrence Fox.